you have given us life, Lord. You breathe life into us, Lord. In Jesus' name, and I thank you for that, Lord. May we worship you and thank you, Lord, in this place here today.
Hallelujah to our God. is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. Heals me when I'm broken. Strength where I've been weakened. Forever He will reign. Savior of the whole world, giver of salvation, by His stripes I am healed. My God is awesome, today I am forgiven, His grace is why I'm living, praise His holy name.
Awesome, my God is awesome. Hallelujah.
from the rain. My God is awesome, heals me when I'm broken, strength where I've been weakened, forever He will reign.
I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for this special day of Pentecost Sunday, Lord. I pray, Lord, you'd bless every faithful and cheerful giver, the one given by faith today also. In Jesus' name, amen.
Your name, oh Lord, you are the mighty God. Holy God, you are holy God. Holy and righteous is your name, oh Lord, you are the holy God. You are the great everlasting Father, the one who was and is to come. Alpha Omega, the Lion of Judah, the great I am, the anointed one. Mighty God, you are mighty God. Mighty and righteous is your name, O Lord, you are the mighty God. Holy God, you are holy God. Holy and righteous is your name, O Lord, you are the holy God. Into your presence I bow before you. I lift my voice, I lift my hands. My praise arises into your throne room. I will proclaim you in all the land. Mighty God, you are mighty God. Mighty and righteous is your name, O Lord. You are the mighty God. Holy God, holy God, holy and righteous is your name, O Lord, you are the holy God. You are the great everlasting Father, the one who was and is to come. Alpha Omega, the Lion of Judah, the great I am, the anointed one. Mighty God, you are mighty God. Mighty and righteous is your name, O Lord, you are the mighty God. Holy God, you are holy God. Holy and righteous is your name, O Lord, you are the holy God. Into your presence I bow before you. I lift my voice, I lift my hands. My praise arises into your throne room. I will proclaim you in all the land. God, you are mighty God. Mighty and righteous is your name, O Lord, you are the mighty God. righteous is your name, O Lord. You are the holy God.
Hallelujah. Just want to, if anybody has a need, need to be prayed for this morning, if, we're going to allow you to come at this time and be prayed for. If you have a need by uplifted hand, God knows that need. He knows your situation. He knows that heart's prayer and the heart's cry. If you can't get the words out right to say what you need to say, the Lord can hear that also here today in Jesus' name. So can we just take a moment and go before the Lord? Lord, thank you, Lord, that we can come before you, Lord, unashamed, Lord, with boldness, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. That whatever we need, Lord, we can ask, believing, come boldly before you in Jesus' name, knowing, Lord, that you're here to meet us, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. You're kind, you're good to us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Refuge.
Praise the Lord. You may be seated. I'm not strong enough to hold this mic and preach at the same time. And hopefully it doesn't fall. It's one of our favorite days in all of the year. Amen. Every major denomination in the world that is Christian, amen, recognizes that today is the day of Pentecost. Amen. And we worship in the feast of Pentecost. And some of you have come back, and it's a good place to come back if you've experienced Pentecost, especially here. I'm reminded that the Apostle Paul one time in his writing just made a quick statement that says that I want to be, and expressed his need that I want to be in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. Amen. And there's other things that we know that this is the day in which God, moved in this church and ordained in this church. Amen. Of course, it goes on every day of every year as a Pentecost to us now that have received that experience of Pentecost. But I'm so glad that we are not just going to talk about it. Brother Davis isn't going to preach on it today. I just remember some of the things that God has said that are very important for us to remember. He says, if any man speaks against or blasphemes the name of Christ, that he could be forgiven. But if any man does not, blasphemes the Holy Ghost, that offer is not made to him. Amen. Because the Holy Ghost is actually Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen. The Holy Ghost in us is the spirit of his power. Amen. The Holy Ghost to us is Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Some people don't understand that miraculous power that Jesus did, and it carried over in the book of Acts, is still a power that we must depend on still today. It still works. Amen. It is very powerful in our lives. Praise the Lord. I want to ask you to stand with me just for a few seconds. I'll read the text for today and try not to be too long. I am going to be moving into a New Testament book that is very strong in the subject of law. Amen. And so I'm not going to try to cover everything in that, but just touch upon a light part. So don't go to sleep on me yet. Amen. I'll try to do as fast as I can. Romans chapter 3 and verse 9. Or 19, excuse me. Drop down to 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under, or who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, and the righteous God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all who believe, there is no difference. For all have sinned, come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom by God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins of that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time the righteousness that is, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. I really had this little thought kind of put on my mind for the week, and then I got to thinking, and I understand that there's a little bit of a depth there that's hard for me to comprehend as well as anybody else. And Paul was just quite a lawyer. That was a position that he found himself in many times, amen, if not proclaimed by those laws. He's ordained of God to tell us almost in a very lawful way what is right and what is wrong. He was the most vile of all the apostles that survived. And of course, I think as far as behavior was concerned with his threatenings and murderings that he did as a young man, many would hold that against him, but it shows us a great purpose in the divine power of God that he looks upon a man that was guilty of murder. He confesses that. He knows that. There were those that would attack him on that. Now, I know we could not imagine, amen, that people sometimes would criticize Paul's ministry and what he did, and some of it had to do with probably he could have possibly murdered somebody's family that was very close in Christianity. And if that was the case, he probably wouldn't be one of your first choices. But I do believe that by the power of God and the authority of his word and the experience that he has in the Lord, that Paul was able to overcome those things and did a great work. As a matter of fact, wrote half of the New Testament and was very blessed with that. So in these things, these first number of books or chapters that Paul writes about, we would know because they are very quickly giving, you know, that somebody would say something and then he would answer, or a statement was made and he was answered. And when you think about that, that's really how a court hearing happens. You know, somebody has come, amen, and he is asked by the defense, and when the defense is done, he's going to be asked by, you know, that one that is the representative, or the one that is able to represent the person on the government side. And as they're there working this through, Brother Davis will get there in just a minute. But I'm so impressed because, first of all, somebody gave me a note right before I got to church, as I came into church this morning. It says, and after check-in, sit for an appointment between 2 and 3 hours and bring a book to read. Now, I just have got my first invite to sit on a jury duty. And so anyway, the second point was, I would get there, park by 8 a.m., get to the parking space, go to the courthouse, it opens at 8:30, not 1 minute before. I'm going to go up Somnock Road, and I'm going to find a pastor, a courtyard, and one block. I'm going to make a left and go to the block.
Hallelujah.
Paul, there's a few things that he shows us in this chapter. I cannot, as a matter of fact, I will read a lot of them just so that we can, Brother Davis can have a little bit of a guide to keep me into, but some of these verses that we just read in our opening text is important marks. So there are some things that I like about what Paul has to say when it comes to the justice system of his day. And one thing that he would say in verse 19, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world would become guilty before God. That has changed drastically in our world today because nobody's guilty today. Amen. But in that day, there was a time that actually people were referred to as being guilty. He says, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. The good thing of the law, that's what Paul is being tested on now when they ask him of the significance of this law that was given. Amen. And so he wants everybody to know that there is a good and there is a bad. Amen. And it is given to each and every one of us by this thing that is called the law, that is the knowledge of sin. If there's anything a person needs to know in life, what is sinful? Amen. On the other side, maybe what is righteous? But most of humanity is going to fall somewhere in between the team. Matter of fact, teeter sometime with what is right and what is wrong. Amen. What is sinful and what is that which is ordained of God to be something that would minister to us? He says in verse 22, and even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Christ Jesus unto all and upon them that believe, there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I want you to notice this word all. It is something that it's not one person and to one person and about one person, but it's about every person, every individual, amen, in their heart and their mind to receive those things that God has revealed, and this Roman church had been revealed to them. Paul had preached it. Now Paul writes about it, amen, so that they would really come to this understanding. Verse 24, it says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We drop down to verse 26, and it says, and declare I at this time in his righteousness, that he might be the just and the justifier of that which was to come. Amen. Which of them that would believe in Jesus. And so as he speaks these things, amen, I like it because he says, let every mouth be stopped. Amen. Let us all come to the knowledge of sin. For all have sinned, amen, and come short of the glory of God. Nobody's all there yet, even in this congregation. Amen. There's this thing in God, amen, that God, when he saves us, he wants to save us all. Amen. And so this week as I am this, and matter of fact, if you would go through chapter 1, maybe the latter part of chapter 1, chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, amen, this subject almost keeps going the way it is. We're going to ask a question. Somebody's going to answer the question. Amen. The critics of Paul are going to ask the question. Amen. And Paul is going to give that. We are in this world today that is very judicial. Amen. It makes a lot of decisions. Our government does. I spoke upon a government that works the last time I preached here, and well aware of that. But there is something about our government that we must understand, that it was put in order that everybody would listen to. But today there is a strong rebellion against our Constitution. There is a strong rebellion against the Word of God. There are those within the church, amen, that want to exempt themselves, amen, from maybe listening to what the Word has to say. They want to pick and choose, amen. They are not well aware of all sin because they sometimes will adhere to sin knowing it's wrong, whether it's a bad mouth or whether it's a bad thought or it's a bad deed, amen. There's something that God wants to bring us in. But I'm so glad that we hear this voice that says, amen, that the reason that every mouth may be stopped, because the whole world is guilty. I had a kind of a dilemma in my life in the last few months because I've talked to a lot of people about this, and I just don't know how you sin anymore. That's a big problem in our world because we just don't know how to sin. I know that because everybody that I thought was sinning, you know, it has been kind of justified by another court, the court of the earth or the world, amen, that says you don't have to worry about what you live. You can pick out any way. And you know what? You can. Amen. And we can love people like that and respect people like that just for the goodness, amen, of God that was within us. But every now and then somebody's going to ask you a question and you're going to have to give an answer. And the answer is going to offend. And it's going to bring down, and it's going to humble, because it is the Word of God. It is something that is right. That's why I said, and as stated previous in this, is that there are some things here that we need to know, and that is the fact that there's too much talking when it comes to how much sin. Because if we come to the real truth of what God has taught us, law is the knowledge of sin. It's all about right and wrong, whether it's the state of Illinois, whether it's the federal government, amen, and more so, even if it's the Word of God, the Word of God is something that is going to show us what is right and what is wrong. We are ignorant of it. God said that my people would just be destroyed by the lack of knowledge. I think we need to study what sin is. I think we need to know how to define it, recognize it, that we give good answer. Amen. And then he says, all have sinned. That hurts. Because there's really was a movement, and I think it's still going on some, that people don't want, a lot of decisions are made in churches so that we won't offend anybody. Hard for a pastor to preach that. You know, Jesus offended a man. Amen. He came and says, Lord, what must I do? And, you know, the Lord gives an answer and expounds to him. And the man receives that. When he was done, and this is making a short story very short, amen, that he was offended and he turned to walk away from God because God told him he was going to have to take all of his money and he's going to have to give it to the poor. There's nothing in the Bible that tells us as a commandment that we have to take our money, give it to the poor, or feed the poor with that. Now, it's a good thought. It's a good concept. This guy had one problem. He was rich. And it was hard for him to receive something that was scripturally not existent. But to this man, that that money that he had and that pride that he had, Brother Kellum talked about this morning, amen, was something that offended that man. I probably offended one of the high officials of Sandwich one time because he came up to me and he was talking about his church. He wasn't talking very good about his church, and I wasn't about to pass up a chance if something came along. And so he said, I want you to know, he said, I gave over $500 to my church last year. I looked him in the eye, and at that time he was the mayor of Sandwich. And I said, sir, I don't think I have anybody in my church that gives only $500. And he was probably more wealthy. Amen. But this knowledge that we have that God wants to give to us is something that we must arrange. We are living in a world that is spinning out of control. Amen. And there's a lot of things that are going on that the world is expecting us. Matter of fact, the world is almost mandating us, amen, that these are things that we must do, amen, in our walk. I'm going to go through the starting with verse 10 and talk to you a little bit about what it is that is that God is looking for, because now he breaks away and gives this answer. And he is not going to say it because I say it, but because he says, because as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Our world has to understand that just because you go to church, amen, sit on a pew, amen, or go anywhere else and honor the name of God, amen, but you are not righteous in your lifestyle, then you have to understand that there is none righteous, not even one. You can go through all the world and try to find a man without a fault and a flaw. And this is what I sometimes wonder about the judgment that our world is in today, because it just seems like that there is a strong pole, amen, a positive, a negative that is fighting against each other. And it is quite disturbing, and it's kind of bothering a lot of people. Amen. Then we drop down to verse 11. There is none that understandeth, and there is none that seeketh after God. Amen. In no wise, nobody is going to understand, so why, you would think, would I even do it? Amen. But what a mark it makes against the society. Amen. That if you don't understand the Scripture, why not? If you don't understand the mind of God, then why not? Amen. He wants you to know him. He wants you to have relationship with him. He wants to bless you. He wants to do all these things. Amen. But none understandeth, and there is none that seek after God. It almost lets me know in this society that we're living in, I'm almost seeing evidence of people, amen, that want to be a Christian, just don't want to do anything about it. They would rather leave jobs undone. They would have something that is very sugar-coated and something that is very nice. Amen. But seeking after God, the Bible says that, you know, when we seek after God with all of our heart, amen, we're going to find him. And we're going to find him on that day that we decide to let our heart pursue after God, amen, and open the Word of God and understand there are many rights and wrongs today, and sometimes the right and wrong is found. I mean, there was the question, and then there is an answer. Amen. Okay, there's none that seek after God, not one. I'm going to address this only to Pentecostals. Pentecostals and the first church, as a matter of fact, it wasn't just the Pentecostals. There were people all over. I was riding in my bus one day, and I spoke to the girl, and I said something, or a woman. Actually, she's only 94. And I said something about holy. And she says, oh, I've not heard that in such a long time. Our church used to always talk about holiness. And it was a holiness church in its origin. It was the United Methodist Church, or the Methodist Church, and the Wesley brothers that helped, you know, establish that church. Amen. They were not people that would just kind of go along, amen, and just with the flow and not do anything. A preacher was preaching holiness. Amen. Wesley was out cutting down trees to build a brush arbor so enough people could come to a revival and moved in that spirit and took them for a long way. They wouldn't come into the altar saying, oh, you know, this guy just feels so good. I mean, there was tears and there were weepings and there was an agony, because man is, when he's distant from God, everything is wrong. It's only when that man makes up his mind that I'm going to pursue the things that are written within the Word of God and live by those things, amen, because I want to seek after God and I want to have the knowledge of what sin really is. Amen. And we're going to get to that. Verse 12. For they are all gone out of the way, and they are altogether unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. I wonder if even we are underestimating what God expects of us. Amen. That God would have to write through this writer, Paul, and let them know that this church, and not a whole lot was bad said about that, and then just a few occasions, because the closer you get to the world and the world gets to the church, the more that you have to be alert of that. And today, nobody wants to fear that. They're all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Verse 13. This is the one I really like. I don't know if I have a complete understanding of this totally. Maybe somebody can help me after church. But I'm going to give you Brother Davis's opinion. There is a throat. Their throat is an open sepulcher or a grave. Their tongues, they have used deceit. And the poison of asp are under their lips. Now that's scary. Amen. I watched Indiana Jones. Amen. We have all the set of the Indiana Jones movie. There's nothing more terrible to me than to see a snake only have some bone. Amen. A skull. And through the eye. The mouth and wherever it might be coming out. And I'm thinking, you know, I probably had nightmares for months because that was the image that would be put before me. And if that maybe image would come before us, we would be more apt to become a little bit more attentive to what's going on around about us. And I think that's part of what Paul is saying. There is an open sepulcher. It's you at your watching from their furthest way. Their tongues, they have used deceit. Amen. And there's this snake or this asp, amen, that is offering out bitter things. Amen. Scary. Unless you haven't watched Indiana Jones. How many's ever seen Indiana Jones and what was the first one? What's that? Raiders of the Lost Ark. Amen. It scared me so much I didn't even want to say that again. But it's really something in ourselves that we have to understand. This is what God expects of us. It was an ugly picture by somebody greater, amen, than Harrison Ford, as he pronounces that, or Indiana Jones, that's more classic, amen. And then he goes on to say in verse 14, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. And their mouths, amen. I mean, there's something going on in their lives that we know now. It's almost when you, those of you that are on Facebook much, it's getting more sickening by the day. Amen. There's a young lady that, I should say this, at one time came to this church many, many years ago, that can probably just about every time something happens come out with the most vile profanity. And I'm having the hardest time in the world not really just getting on there and saying, what are you thinking? You should know better than that. If anybody should know that. I said, not everybody should know that, but you should know that. Amen. And I'm trying to find a way, how do you come against something when there is such bitterness and cursings? Amen. You can name a name. Amen. And everybody wants to give you an idea or a description of who the person is or who the God is or what's really going on in society, because this bitterness and this cursing, amen, is not just a habit. It's become a lifestyle to them, something that they are doing all the time because they cannot control themselves. And they're bitter about this thing that is happening in their lives. They're the ones, amen, that would really have a problem with that. And we're getting to some things that are now coming down into our life and decisions that we have to make. Verse 15 says, and the feet of their feet are swift to shed blood. One place they run to shed innocent blood. It only is, what, some 50 million people now that have been aborted? There are people out there very strong, cursing and bitter because, amen, that this movement that is against abortion, amen, has gone a long way from 1973. I remember being in Washington in 1973 holding revivals, and we were there, and we could just see at a distance the mass crowd that was there wanting to have Roe v. Wade, amen, and something done about it. But it has progressively gotten worse and worse to now they're talking about, amen, have the baby, we set it on the table, we wash it up a little bit, we ask mom, do you want to keep it or kill it? If she says kill it, kill it. Amen. It's a digression that is happening, that slowly these things come to pass, and all of a sudden we realize it's bombarding us. Amen. It's wanting to rule us. It's wanting to take our religious freedom away. Amen. I believe in the Word of God. Amen. Our country was founded upon the Word of God. Amen. And by the power of the Word of God, amen, we must take a stand against that. Hallelujah. Destruction and misery are in their ways. It fills our streets. Amen. Every time somebody comes to town, if they're the wrong party, windows are broken out. And I'm not talking really about politics. I'm talking about a society, because people, amen, if something goes wrong, amen, they want to do their best to become destructive. I think it would be hard to love Jesus. Amen. And, you know, now they have such a boldness. Maybe some of you saw it on media, social media. They're picking police cars. Matter of fact, they've always done this, really. And made them almost to the point to where they would burn them or tear them up so badly that they would be so ruined, because it's destruction in their mind. They live for destruction. Does everybody live for destruction? We have Republicans that do. We have Republicans that don't. Amen. We have independents that do, independents that don't. And, you know, of all the parties, I mean, of the Democratic Party, those that do and those that don't. And you know, it's leaving the, you know, our sanity behind. You used to just be able to, you know, have an election and go to bed and go to sleep and wake up and have a good day the next day. Even if your team lost. Was it the story I heard, I think, the other day on the, it appeared out that a woman stabbed herself 3 times? She was playing it was on Trump's. Now, I'm not here to make Trump right or wrong, but I want to tell you something. I don't care who was president. Amen, if somebody comes up with it. I just haven't seen that in America that I live in. And it ought not to be. Amen. There ought to be something that causes us, amen, to be able to express an opinion, but I don't think we need to do that in church, and that's why I want to add that, because here is somebody that obviously was self-inflicting themselves, because you know what? That is a sign of misery. Amen. That's a sign of a terrible disease in the brain. Amen. That's something that is really robbing us, and that is what is the most vociferous, amen, thing that happens in our world as far as the courts are concerned. It's whoever yells the loudest, not necessarily the most. The way of peace they have not known. Oh, excuse me, first in verse 16, it would be this, that destruction and misery are in their way. And then it says, in the way of peace they have not known, amen, they can't find peace. I think that we would be amazed at how many people can go to bed in our society today and not be able to sleep. Have you ever heard of one that can say something like this? I have a terrible problem going to sleep until the next morning when they should be waking up. And sometimes they will just have insomnia. It's just there, and they call it, they have a name for it, for the point to where they come. But, you know, peace is a tremendous thing. I know one that the peace of God passes all understanding. I know that He is the Prince of Peace that has to be in my life. I'm so glad that He's one that I can run to and not run away from. I can say that I know Him, amen, by the power of His Spirit, amen, and all these things that are going on in our life. Amen. But they don't know. There's very little peace in the world today when you find these people that can just spew out hatred, no matter which side it is. Amen. There is a gruesome concern that we have to have. There is no fear. There is no, verse 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. They have no fear at all. If you're not afraid of God, I want to tell you something. And I was talking about a while ago being saved, and I get a little angry sometimes when I see people saying, well, you know what, you don't really have to get baptized. And you don't really need the Holy Spirit working in your life. And you don't have to love it. You can get the love around and love it. I want to tell you something. If any president wanted to come to my house, I think I would be more than glad to sit down and have a little talk with them. And of anything, I mean, we've had Pentecostal men that have been invited, amen, to the White House under, not Trump, but under Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton was the closest to Pentecost of any president we've ever had. He is very good friends of people that we know and are very close to. One of them raised in my home church, amen, heard about it before he was ever become president, what kind of man he would be. But today, amen, in our world, nobody fears God. I will say this, I really believe that Bill Clinton fears God. Might not. I mean, there's all kinds of people in the world today that are befuddled because they can't really want to, what is transparent, what is their self. They cannot overcome it. Amen. But he has people praying. All of our presidents ought to have people praying for them. And then it might be easier for them to understand that I don't have to fear man, but boy, when you don't have to fear God. I never went to a church. Church knows this testimony, and I'll be closing here in just a second. 18 and a half years I went to church and felt conviction every service I ever remember being in. As a baby, no, but every service I remember being in, I don't remember getting off easy. Amen. My fingerprints, you know, rubbing the pew in front of me. Got the color and the stain and everything else that was on that pew. I mean, I had it rubbed down because I was afraid that God was going to come and I wouldn't be ready, but didn't have enough sense to get ready. And I can name a number of events that happened within my life to where I could have and probably should have died. Amen. And just escaped out of, you know, small things or things that would come up. And I remember riding my bicycle down the road one day, using no hands, not here on my paper route. And I was a good bike rider, but I hit something and it knocked me. And I guess my head would not be that far from the tires on that car. And I look back today and say, you know, God spared me there, and God spared me there, and God spared me there. Somebody good was there. Amen. And God is well aware of you and I, how we live, how we have our life together, what's going on in our life, and those things that we could really do. Amen. I don't know about you, but let me hear those questions. And let me give those answers. Because what I see here, it is representing the guilty. Amen. There needs to be that part in which some of these people came to know after Paul's teaching and Paul's preaching. Amen. That there is a God that is a just. And he is a justifier. He is the one that's going to come into your life and say, you know what? You can quit your cussing. You can quit your fighting. You can quit your arrogance. You can come down to life. Amen. But there's something about you need to deal with. Because the most important knowledge that we can obtain in this world is the knowledge of who God is, what he can do. And I'm in a building this way. Oh, how he loved us. Oh, how he loved us. Amen. That we all could have a total different story writing today. Amen. And this is our story. That I was a sinner. I confess my sins. I shed my tears. I had a broken heart and a broken spirit. When I came up out of it, people knew I'd repent. Amen. That's what I did for a day, and I got baptized. Then they started talking to me about being baptized in the Spirit. Amen. And you know, I didn't know about that either. But the next night I went to church and was baptized in the Spirit of God. Now I can say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. It's God in me. It's Christ in me that does the work in our lives so where we can overcome all of these dilemmas. God does not want you to be, amen, just taken back by life and almost destroyed and fearful and, amen, and have all these things going on when God wants to just love you and wants you to just love him. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together.
Order my steps in your word, dear Lord. Lead me, guide me every day. Send your anointing, Father, I pray. Order my steps in your word. Order my steps in your word. Order my steps in your word, dear Lord. Lead me, guide me every day. Send your anointing, Father, I pray. Order my steps in your word. Order my steps in your word.
Hallelujah. If you like, let's come around the altar and just sing that. Your church to be vibrant.
Every day, send your because I'm going away. I know the peace because I'm going by name. I know the peace because
vacations, especially in the year when we know that people, amen, are that's his family down there, amen. Oh, nobody takes anything wrong with that. Brother Davis was just so blessed to have my family close enough to really, I could see when I want, amen, and far enough to where I didn't have to. But I don't remember a time ever, amen, if I had a chance to go home and see Mama. Amen. Our grandma or my dad, I was on my way. Praise the Lord. They are the strong. They're the reason I'm where I am. Amen. And I need to be faithful to those that raised us and cared for us. Praise the Lord. Lord bless you. After you shake hands with at least 10 people, you're dismissed in Jesus' name. And that's the minimum. That's not the maximum.